I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I'm Sanchita Sharma. I'm the health and science editor with the Hindustan Times. Welcome to my podcast, Healthwise. Each episode will bring you up to speed with the top of the mind health, science, and environment issues. You'll hear experts who will help you better understand policy and decipher jargon, so that you can make the choices that work best for you.
Coronavirus cases in Delhi and the NCR are surging. Experts blame it on festivities and gatherings, but a corresponding rise has not been recorded in other states that observed similar festivities. I'm on call with Dr. Yatin Mehta, who's the chairman of the Institute of Critical Care and Anesthesiology at Medanta Hospital, Gurugram, to find out what people are doing wrong. So, Doc, why are cases rising in Delhi?
I live and work in Gurugram. I travel sometimes to Delhi. And I find a distinct change in behavior pattern of people in public places. Delhi has completely opened up, as if there is nothing wrong. And many educated people have been saying, oh, what is the big deal? It is just like a flu. So, Delhi has completely opened up. The traffic has tremendously increased. The marketplaces are full. The shopping areas are full. Many people are not masking properly. You know, even if they are wearing it around their neck or under the nose, it doesn't really serve the purpose.
What are the common mistakes that people make that raises their risk of infection?
See, the mask should be covering your nose and mouth. After a day's use, you should discard the mask for a refreshment next day, unless you have a washable, reusable mask. Avoid. The safe distancing is what we have. So, safe distancing, hand hygiene, and masking are the three life-saving procedures which we can all exercise prudently till that vaccine comes beginning of next year. So I think the Delhi, and this is now what I'm saying, the change which I'm seeing is that earlier we were seeing people from congested lower classes of people financially who were living in cramped spaces with sharing toilets and things like that, where physical distancing and isolation was not possible. But now I'm seeing upper class, South Delhi people who have adequate space in their houses, adequate toilets, etc. But they are not exercising this properly. So I think people have just forgotten. This is, you can call this COVID fatigue. So after months and months of nothing else but COVID and everybody telling you to do the same thing, people are now tired also. And marriages are happening, and the government is increasing it initially from 250 to 200 people. Gyms have opened up. Mandir, masjid, church, Gurdwara, all are open. Why should we be doing all this? I think Delhi should be ashamed of itself. We are really doing very poorly compared to the rest of the country.
Yeah, that's true. And also, do you find that since most of us see our homes as safe places, we tend to get careless at home? So, are you seeing clusters from within families where people are not, you know, people think they're inside homes, but if somebody else is infected, you get infected too?
There's so many families I have seen where one person gets infected. I clearly instruct them to be in complete isolation, explain it to them what is complete isolation, and then a few days later, the whole family gets hit. I mean, people are not exercising the isolation procedures properly, and it is spreading among, one person gets it, the whole family gets it. And it's a major problem because with small children, elderly people in the house, three people get admitted in the ICUs or in the hospital. Who looks after the small children? So these are social problems also which will crop up once this thing increases like this.
But it's also possible to protect yourself. I mean, someone like you, you've been treating COVID-19 patients since March when the first cluster of cases were reported in that Italian tourist airport. And you're in contact with positive patients every day, you and your team and frontline workers across the country who are treating. Infection rate among doctors and health workers is not like phenomenally high. So clearly protection works. I mean, what do you do? What are the precautions you personally take when you go home.
Yeah. See, so what I do in the hospital, Sanchita, is that I strictly follow the SOPs for how to enter that area where the patients are there, how to meet those people, how to don, how to doff, and I change my, see, I go in my OT blues, as you say, the operation theater clothes. On top of that, we don the clothing for the COVID, which is the PPE, personal protective equipment. Then the proper way to don it. So I follow the strict procedure. I practice hand hygiene between each patient with the proper PPE. When I come out, there is a proper way to take it off, which is called doffing. So I follow the doffing procedure properly. Hand hygiene after every article which comes out. Then I have a shower and I change my OT blues into fresh OT blues. After I finish my work during the day at the hospital, I come home, have another shower and change my clothes. So I think if you follow all these norms, one will stay safe. If you do not, if you take shortcuts, because many of the healthcare workers try to get tired or bored or whatever, so they take shortcuts. And then they fall into the trap because healthcare workers have a high risk of getting the COVID-19 disease.
And you mentioned earlier that most people now believe that it's just a mild infection like the flu, but most people don't realize that COVID-19 also comes at a physical and also an economic cost. Because first, let's talk about the physical cost. What are the after effects that you see in people with long COVID? Because people in even mild disease have lingering symptoms.
Yes. See, some of them, the cough and fever and body muscle pain and loss of appetite, general malaise and weakness will persist for a long time. Not only that, the breathing difficulties can persist. So the lungs can undergo certain long-term changes, which is very detrimental. So their exercise tolerance will go down. They climb a flight of stairs and they're short of breath. The muscle mass goes down. Not only that, there are long-term psychological impact of that. See, there's neurocognitive dysfunction, there is depression, anxiety, all these persist for months. So after the effects, we are only realizing now in follow-up clinics after the patients get discharged. So the price to pay is very heavy, if you, no question, not only during the illness, but even after the illness. Many of them will not be able to join back work for weeks and months.
And then there's also the economic cost, because of course treatment is free in government hospitals, but a lot of people who don't even need hospitalization, who have mild to moderate disease, which is being treated at home, even they have to go for blood work, CT scans and medication.
Yeah,
what is the average cost for a person in a private sector hospital, you know, including doctor consultations online and all of that?
As a ballpark figure, if you put it, it would average, if you look at the illness for about 10, 12 days, it would come to about, I think, 4,000 to 5,000 rupees a day.
A day, wow.
Which is not cheap.
Yeah, and also then you get tested a couple of times and
include that, but the CTs and doctor's consultation and the medications which you take, plus I think the things which you use are PPEs at home also, the N95 masks for you and the family members and disposable plates to eat in and all that, that also possibly.
Well, that's a huge cost because, I mean, let's say the average is 40 to 50,000 per patient. Even with ill disease, if you have two or three people ill inside your homes, you're spending a couple of packs, which is... So, clearly, it's not like the flu where you just pop a Crocin and have hot soup and you get better, right?
Yeah, see, your flu may, as they sometimes say, that if you treat a flu, it will go away in a week. If you don't treat it, it will take 7 days. It's something like that.
Yeah.
See, I mean, a flu mostly, without it, even you're consulting a doctor, you take a Crocin and vitamin C and you'll be all right in a few days' time. Remember, while this not only affects every possible organ in the body and it kills more patients, particularly in the high-risk category people, but also long-term effects, flu, there are no long-term effects. Once you're recovered, you're recovered. But this has long-term implications and this is much more infective. That means you can spread it to too many people. That is what is causing the spread and the burst of cases.
So thank you. So the takeaway message from this conversation is you have to protect yourself because unlike the flu, coronavirus disease is more infective. You infect more people.
Then there are long-term repercussions because symptoms and weakness last for months. And then apart from that, there's also economic cost, even if you don't need hospitalization, because on average, a patient being treated in the private sector can spend up to 40,000-50,000 for one episode. So thank you so much, Dr. Mehta. That was really very useful.
If you still have any queries or would like me to cover a certain health topic, do feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me at Sanchex, that is at SanchX, or at HT Smartcast. We are available on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com. Until next time, goodbye.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.